considering I popped something in my knee this week. So it's been a lot of fun, but I really could do without it. And you could see that I borrowed some crutches that were a little short there. I just want to express to you as we come into 2022 how much I appreciate and you appreciated your service as we looked at the wonderful thing that Maddie did there in regard to the pictures taken and the life at Grace Bible Church over 2020 and all of your service and the things that made all of these things happen. I'm going to run a quiz now. How many babies were there? And how many snowflakes did you count on our video there, PowerPoint? But thank you, Maddie, for putting that together and just the reminders of the life in the body. It's a wonderful thing to remember these things at the end of the year. I also want to say, Tommy, I sure appreciate it. I didn't know if I was going to be able to be here or not, and so I asked Pastor Jenkins if he would be a backup for me in case I couldn't make it. Tommy, we definitely want to hear whatever the Lord had on your heart. We've got a number of different dates there that we'd love for you to fill the pulpit and speak to our people. I know we always are blessed and enjoy having you and Sue when y'all come back. But I thank you for being a backup for me this morning. He always has a sermon in his pocket and is ready to go. I was very appreciative of that. As we look at our end of the year review and a vision for 2022, and I want to address just a few things in regard to what we saw. And the scripture tells us that we're to remember what the Lord has done. And so I always feel that it's significant and important for us to look back on the year and to remember what God has done at Grace Bible Church. And this in the middle of a pandemic and all of these things, we're just so thankful for those of you that are here and for those of you that are with us in spirit by way of Zoom. But we want to be reminded at the end of a year, and usually we do the end of the year in the last service in December, but this year we did our Christmas service on the 26th, and so it just fell that these two things that we normally do, the end of the year review and remembering God's goodness, and then a vision for 2022 come together this morning in the sermon. But the scripture says, remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. It's so important for us as God's people to call to remembrance his goodness to us and the wonderful things that that he's doing in the church body. I know that last spring we ended Ron and Pam. I don't guess she's with children or back there, but they informed me last May that at the end of the year in Awana, that it was the first year ever that all of the clubbers completed 100% of their work. And that's a confirmation, an expression of the Lord in his favor that you were willing to minister, all of those of you that work in Awana and minister to our children, in a time that was really needy and a sacrifice on your part because of the pandemic going. But God blessed it so richly. And as we remember these things, we want to thank God for his goodness and for the wonderful things that he has done, because we did that all of the Awana year from 19 to 2020, spring of 2020, with no outbreak at the church. God protected you, and he blessed your labors and your service. And all of your service is given by sacrifice, but at times we really look at that death to self in a special way in a pandemic and things along those lines. But we remember God's goodness. And secondly, we want to give thanks to the giver of these good works and the blessings that he bestows upon us. And there's so many of you that I wanted to take a great deal of time and thank everybody, and especially those that so often work behind the scenes and make so many things happen and are never acknowledged or recognized. They're just simply, it's very difficult to do that. But I know that you, as a church body, have been faithful to tell people how much you appreciate their service. And if you don't, if you're reticent to do those things, their pride will be okay. It won't be a pride thing. Let them know, encourage them, and tell them how much you appreciate those sacrifices of service that are just constantly given out and often behind the scenes. But I'm very, very thankful for all of you. We're thankful for your support. We're thankful to see how God has protected and taken care of us through these times, and your willingness to offer up those sacrifices of service. It's pleasing to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wonderful works to the children of men. There's two ways in which we thank God and give praise to God. And one is that we acknowledge his character and the fact that he is the giver of every good thing. But the second part is that he does these wonderful things for us, and we need to remember them. And then we want to do that part on encouraging the saints. Encourage the saints for your participation and service in the church body, because God is especially gifted each one of you with a spiritual gift. And the function of the body of Jesus Christ is intended and meant in such a way that there's that expression of those gifts that God has given to you, and that it works within the church body to accomplish the very purposes that God has, the very purposes that he's called us to as his people. So Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the own assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Stimulate one another. I want to encourage you and encourage just that participation and response to one another. Discouragement is a major tool of the evil one. He wants to discourage you. And how often as we make our way through the things that God is doing, we face that opposition of the evil one. You know, he's just constant in his opposition to the expression of the things that God wants to express through the church body here at Grace Bible Church. Don't grow discouraged, but encourage one another, stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, because that's what the Lord God calls us to. And so thank you for a wonderful year, in spite of all of the difficulties and things that unfolded that took place. God has done great and mighty things, and we give praise and thanksgiving to God for his goodness. And so the end of the year review is just to remember these things. Remember what God has done. Give thanks to him for his person, for the giver of such great gifts, and for the works that he has done and encourage one another, that we may carry on and that we may finish well as God's people. He has a plan for Grace Bible Church and a work for us to do. So let's engage in that as we enter into our vision for 2022. We're going to carry on. And so I'd like to address to you body life in a pandemic this morning and consider some of the things in regard to what we may look forward to and all of the unknown things that are going to happen in 2022, because we don't know. There's a lot of very troubling things happening in this country and in the world. The pandemic is just a part of the troubling things that are unfolding and taking place. And so we need to think about and put a focus on what body life in a pandemic may look like with all of the unknowns and uncertainties. We need to be deliberate as God's people, bold in Christ, and always remembering that God is sovereign, that he's in control, that nothing in all of the craziness that's taking place in our world today, God is in charge. He's Almighty God. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on in our families. He knows what's going on personally in our hearts and our lives. He's always working. It's always, every test and every trial is simply a matter of the expression of our belief or unbelief in who God is and in whether he's sovereign or not and whether he's in control despite whatever the circumstances may be that we face. So I want to encourage you this morning to take a challenge to enter into 2022 and the body life in regard to the pandemic. Let me just go over a few things here. The body life in a pandemic, there's the vision for our church and our understanding of the local church is that we are to equip the saints. We're called to, it says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. This is where our focus is. So we're teaching a scripture. We have wonderful teachers. Take advantage of the wonderful study that we're doing in Malachi. In February, we're going to pick up and we have our brother Alan is going to be preaching again on prayer, our prayer life. We're going to go back to part five in the Biblical Framework series. And these things are really great studies for the children. We've got all of these things in regard to the children's church. The Pam is teaching the children upstairs, and our WANA program is going strong. And so we're equipping the body for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. And in Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ Jesus. That's what we're about. That's our purpose. And so we're always going to be and keep that focus regardless of what uncertainties are in 2022. We're still going to be teaching the word. We're still going to be building up the body of Christ. We're still going to be appealing and praying for the expression of your God-given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit that make you a part of this church body to do the things that God is doing here, that he's called us to. So at Grace Bible Church, we're equipping the saints. Then I would point out that our ministry at Grace Bible Church is built on a discipleship ministry, and there are five things that sum up all that we're doing here: evangelism, teaching, fellowship, worship, and service, training for service, fellowship, encouragement, stimulating to one another to love and good works and to that process. And we have it illustrated by our our arrow there that there's outreach, which includes evangelism and reaching the and encouraging the complacent to enter into a discipleship, following after the word and teaching of Christ, which involves teaching and worship and fellowship and all training for the service that God has called each one of you to. That's the model of discipleship that we have at Grace Bible Church. It's the purpose for which we everything revolves around that model and what it means to move that direction. That's always what we're intending to do. So body life in a pandemic is the same as body life in outside the pandemic. Now, whatever is taking place, we'll be looking at those things. So, and this is the GBC organizational chart. This is just to show you that for each one of those five things, you can see them running across the middle there, that there's an administrative structure for the ministries that are taking place. They're categorized under those five things: evangelism, teaching, fellowship, worship, service. And these are the people that you talk to and see in the different classes, the different ministries, and their administrators over them for things that are taking place. Moving on then, women's fellowship. These are some things that we're looking at for the new year. And those flyers are out in the foyer. But churchwide fellowships, mark your calendars. We have calendars. We work really hard because we're a small church, so that we have these things on the calendar for the new year. We worked so hard, Lori and others, Theresa and other people, putting together things so that we don't have a lot of ministries conflicting, so that you have to make a choice about, I know that you always make choices about how much you can do and where you can be, but we don't want for those ministries to clash as much as possible. So we've worked that out, and we appreciate all of you that put into that schedule. Then there's the directory that we have that we can maintain contact with one another, those things. So let's look at some of the challenges for 2022. And I want to challenge you this morning, because God's people need boldness. We need courage in times and days like these, and we need to be deliberate in God's calling and what God's plan and purpose is for us as his people. So I want to say a number of different things in regard to Christ's disciples and the challenge to this discipleship that runs in our church. First of all, Christ's disciples love one another. And the scripture tells us that we're to fervently love one another. And I just want to say that GBC's response in the COVID pandemic has been really heartwarming and encouraging, because I'm in touch with a number of different churches that are like-minded to us, and I know that there's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of things that happen. Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? Vaccine? No vaccine? Political action and activity, or no political action or activity, and there's a real potential, and is happening in many churches where there's division within the church body over some of these things. Now, I so appreciate the fact that we can have differences of opinion about issues, and it doesn't disturb the fellowship or the love that we have for one another. And I want to commend you, because this past year, or almost 2 years at this point, you have really demonstrated the love of Christ and the point that Jesus is making in regard to the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. It's important that men know that we're Christ's disciples, because we have love for one another, and we can vary in what we our opinions about certain things, but we have that love for one another which is impenetrable. It just is. It's the wall against the evil one. It is the necessary thing for us as God's people to fervently love one another and care for one another and not be distracted by certain issues and things that that can cause division in the church body, and certain differences that should not change the unity and the purpose that we have in being Christ's disciples and serving the body together. So, and also, the scripture tells us that we're to be unified as God's people. How can we have differences of opinion and be unified? And what does it look like when we have conflict about whether to wear a mask or not wear a mask or that type of thing? And I don't think that the scripture is talking about the unity that we have in Christ and those things that would in any way relate to these issues. And when people have grace in their heart, there's that expression of fervent love, regardless of someone having a different opinion. And I think we really do have to look at, well, if someone has a different opinion about this or that, how significant is that in regard to what the scripture tells us to be unified about and what Christ prayed that we would be unified in regard to? And Christ, in his prayer, he said that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So another significant thing here is that when there's unity in a church body, the world knows that God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ. It's our testimony. So it's hugely significant that we're unified in the purpose that Christ has for, not in the diversity and the differences that we have, but in the goal that we seek, the will of the Father, the will of the Son, the unity in regard to God's purposes for God's people. And you are God's people. So strive for the unity of the church. Fervently love one another, that men may know you're Christ's disciples. Strive for the unity of the church, that the world may know that God sent his Son. And we know we're on track, we're on purpose, stated goal in regard to God's calling and purposes for us as his people. And then Christ's disciples are to live to benefit others. Jesus Christ demonstrated the perfection of his beautiful character was that we're to do nothing from selfishness, from selfish ambition, or empty conceit or vainglory. You know, we can become very selfish, even in good things. And religious people sometimes are the most diabolic people. You've just seen it. They have good intentions and they are seeking good things, but it becomes vainglory because it's not the Father's will, it's not the Son's will, and it's not the unity of those things, but it's vainglory, it's selfish ambition. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. I mean, that's very clear. We're to live to benefit others. And that's Jesus taught that in so many ways. He taught it to his disciples. He demonstrated it to his disciples. And it's been given to us because we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the beauty of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and benefit, work for the benefit of others in humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves, and fulfill the word of Christ in that regard. And then there's another principle in regard to Christ's disciples, as that we're to appreciate individual diversity. We don't want cookie cutter, everybody walking in lockstep, but the acknowledgement and recognition that we're to appreciate that God intentionally created you different from other people, and each one of you are unique. You're unique in your person, and you're unique in God's calling for you. Now, there are varieties of gifts, okay? So God gives one, and this is the thing, you can see this happen sometimes in a church body, because this person over here that's got a great love for evangelism and is completely focused on evangelism, and he's over there, he's looking at the rest of the church body, and he's saying, why don't you have an interest in this, you know? And it's everything, he just is so focused on what God has called him to, but if we understand grace and we understand how God works within the church body, the person over here that has a different gift of maybe service or teaching or whatever, they're to work in concert. They're not in conflict. God intends those things. And so for the evangelist, he doesn't have to look down or but at the same time, because he's been given the gift of evangelism, he stimulates us to do evangelism. He reminds us that God has called us to do evangelism. And so there's a wonderful balance and blend there that God has worked. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects. So there's different things that are supposed to take place that are going to be different and sometimes almost in conflict as these things are working out, or it may be seemingly conflict, but God is working all in all in these various ways. But the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God intends it for common good. He intends for what he's doing in your lives and what he has especially called you for to work for the common good of the church body, and that intention to build the body of Christ up, to build those things into the body. So, and then keep... a challenge to devotion to prayers. We come into 2022. I want to encourage you to take the admonition in Scripture. There's often admonition. There's encouragement. There are charges in regard to being devoted to prayer. And I'm very thankful, again, that Grace Bible Church is that there's fellowship, good fellowship, and good unity here. And also, you know, we have the prayer chain. We have the Wednesday prayer Zoom. We have prayer for our nation once a month. But I encourage you to be devoted to prayer, because the Scripture tells us to be devoted to prayer. And there's the battles are fought there. In the spiritual realm, the battle is mostly fought in regard to prayer. So the Scripture tells us to keep alert in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. God is doing great and mighty things which we know not. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But the battleground is there in prayer as we take orders from our Heavenly Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, from the unity that we have with Him through the Spirit of God that God has given to us to dwell in our hearts for all eternity and to work in concert with each one of us. It's this wonderful thing, and it's God is doing it. So devote yourselves to prayer. Next, don't get discouraged in praying. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Isn't it easy to lose heart? You pray for someone for so long, you say, man, it's just nothing's happening there. But we're to pray and not lose heart. We're to pray for that family member that doesn't know Christ, that's perishing. We're to pray for that friend. And whatever else God puts on our heart, do not lose heart. in regard to having faith and knowing that God is able to do great and mighty things. Be persistent in prayer. And then there's pray that you do not take the bait of temptation. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane there said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, temptation is going to come to everybody. You're going to be tested. The evil one is going to lay a snare. And you're either going to take the bait or stand. And so the scripture says, don't enter that temptation. Don't take the bait. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. All of these things, the things that the disciples were fighting with here was just sleep. At a time when Christ was going to be crucified, Christ was encouraging them to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, because they entered into temptation, didn't they? And why did they enter into temptation? Because they did not watch and pray, according to Christ's instruction here. But it's the way out for us, and Jesus made it known to us. And then there's the pray because you do not know what will happen in 2022. There's all those unknowns out there, and God intends it that way. He doesn't want for you to know, but he's given us certain things, right? As we look at biblical prophecy and we see things that are unfolding that are signs that we're near the end times, that we're looking at the spirit of the Antichrist and the gathering together on a global scale, man's rebellion against God himself. Scripture says, take heed and watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. We need to be alert. We need to watch and we need to pray. But we need to acknowledge that we don't know what things are going to unfold this year, what the timing is. They're all in the Father's hands, all in his timing, all in his plan. But we can engage as his people, and we need to be alert and to know that though we don't know what's going to happen in 2022, that we're going to be engaged and about God's business in these things. Watch therefore and pray always. And then there's another admonition here. Pray because you know your faith is too weak to deliver you. Notice that it says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is ready or willing, but the flesh is weak. If you don't understand that the flesh is weak at this point, let me tell you, and please understand, the flesh is weak. It's not going to win the battle for you. But we have this problem. Everybody has this problem, that we constantly go back to our own wisdom, our own strength, instead of that dependence, that utter dependence upon God in Christ Jesus. Because we can go there and simple with a simple cry in our heart, God, deliver me, save me. I'm looking to you. Be my Savior. I understand that this victory, if it takes place, it's not going to be because I'm such a great person or I'm able to do these things, but because you as my Savior are guiding me through a minefield of spiritual things that the evil one has laid these snares for me, and you are able to deliver me. When we move our trust there, we've got salvation. We've got sanctification. We've got deliverance by the power of God in Christ Jesus. That's God's grace to you, and it's lavished upon you, and it's received by faith. It's how we live the Christian life. And when we get to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God our Father, all that we'll be able to say is that praise be to God. He did what I could not do. And all praise and honor and glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and to my loving Heavenly Father, by his grace and mercy, saved me and delivered me through all of these things that were snares and traps for me. Okay? And then pray to escape future troubles. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day we'll stand before him. And we will be worthy to escape these things because we have entered into the battle of prayer, into utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus to save us and deliver us from such things. And then another Pray for the words and boldness to share the gospel. Notice the Apostle Paul, he speaking with the Ephesians, says, pray on my behalf that utterance, that words may be given to me and the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Many of the times that Paul was praying for these things were under great duress. It was under powerful magistrates. And Paul is asking for prayer, for words to be given to him in the opening of his mouth, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would come upon those magistrates, upon those people that God called Paul to witness to and to make known with boldness. We need boldness, and God will give you boldness. You will find the strength that he has in that dependence upon him, that God will give these things, but we should pray for one another. Pray for one another that God gives us boldness to approach people with the gospel, to give us the utterance, the words that we need to speak. A word fitly spoken is like apples of silver and apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's a beautiful thing. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives us those things. But prayer is a factor, according to the Apostle Paul here. There's another passage in Colossians that speaks of So pray for the opportunity and clarity in sharing the gospel. So we've got boldness, the words to speak and boldness, and we've got opportunity and clarity. Those are just four things. Can you remember to pray for them? Pray for them when you're going to go out or going to meet somebody, or there might be an opportunity. So we can pray for opportunity and clarity in sharing the gospel. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. That's opportunity. A door for the word is opportunity. And you can pray for it. And God will open up that opportunity, and he'll give you utterance, the right words to fitly speak to that person that needs to hear the gospel, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned, and here's another thing, may make it clear. Clarity. It's difficult because people have different presupposition and foundational things. In other words, if they hold to evolution as a regard to creationism, they're going to think a certain way. And addressing someone that's thinking from a different presuppositional understanding is what's going to help us to make it clear. So we need to study to show ourselves approved and be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is within me. We need to be about these things. Pray for these things. Utterance, boldness, opportunity, clarity in the sharing of the gospel. And then engage your world with biblical truth. The scripture says in Luke 19, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into it. And this is a parable that Christ is teaching. He went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Clearly speaking about the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. And to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. So, engage the world with biblical truth. Occupy means to, it means that we are to, it can be translated do business. It can even be translated trade. Until I come. But God wants for us to engage in this world. And he's establishing his kingdom here. The parable that he's teaching, that the Messiah will come and that he's going to receive for himself a kingdom. So occupy until I come. Engage. Engage the culture. And I say this because as the Christian church, we simply have withdrawn into ourselves and withdrawn out of our culture. As our culture in the United States has secularized more, we have we've moved, we keep moving, and we keep moving inward. And the scripture, Lord Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail. That's an offensive move for the church. And yet the church, as I see it today, has withdrawn from the culture. And we have the tendency to, in order to protect our families from the secularization and the idolatry that's taken place in the United States of America, we've moved inward and disengaged from our culture. We can't do that. We just can't do it. We have to be vocal in regard to truth. We've got to engage our world with biblical truth, and that's everything. We can't have this idea of these pieces of pie that in this area, you know, we're withdrawing from that because the secular world is so bad. That's not what God means in regard to occupying until he comes and engaging as he would have us to be as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So I'm speaking to you here that there's more than the sharing of the gospel. The Great Commission says, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. We're to do that. We're to engage the culture with the truth that is spoken in Scripture. And we can't renege from that responsibility as God's people. We just can't. So engage and be involved. Okay, and then stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Scripture's clear in speaking in regard to the deception that we're seeing that's taking place globally and on massive scale and in rebellion against God is simply, it's demonic, it's satanic in its very nature. And we need, as God's people, to stand firm, to identify it for what it is. And how do we do that? We identify it in accordance with what the Word has to say about these things. And we need to be ready to give an answer always in regard to what it means to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The God of this world is working toward, as we know because of biblical prophecy, it's working toward a global rebellion, mankind against God, and actually Satan against God, because he's going to indwell the Antichrist. He's going to indwell a man. Just as Christ took upon himself human flesh and came and dwelt among us, the Antichrist, Satan himself, is going to indwell the Antichrist, and these things are unfolding. We know it because Scripture says it. So when we see these things that seem to make no sense, it really begins to make sense once we understand biblical prophecy and this truth that we must stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the god of this world, because he's always working, and he's very clever. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So we're not there with swords and spears and rifles and guns, but it's spiritual against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. There are world forces of this darkness, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that are here on earth, that where we're to occupy, where we're to engage as God's people, we need boldness, we need to stand firm, and we need to be aware of the schemes of the devil. And then there is pray all your actions are God's will and glorify Christ. I love the passage in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling. God has a calling for you. He has a special time in human history when you're here because God has a plan to use you in what he's doing. And to know and to be worthy of that calling is the most important thing that you can do as God's people. It's the most important thing and the most identifying of who you actually are and who God created you to be. It is the essence of your purpose, why you're here. So God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to do these things in and through you. He has an amazing plan, and we need to apply faith to what God's purposes and His calling is for us to see great and mighty things which we know not. 2022 can be the most incredible year ever simply because God's people have faith and boldness. They're standing against the schemes of the devil and being counted worthy of the calling that God has given to them. Count yourself worthy and embrace, go after those things which God has set before you, and you'll know fullness of life and wonderful things that God has done and will do through you. And it will be the very completion of the very person that God has created you to be. I want to close with some points here. These are concluding challenges for 2022. Hold forth the word of truth. And I want to make some examples. Homosexuality is an abomination. Okay? I can almost hear the reaction to that. Because our culture, our society, has promoted same-sex marriage, homosexuality, and other deviant sexual behavior. But we as God's people need to say the truth. We need to speak the truth. And people aren't going to like it. And you're going to have to deal with that. You know, if we're going to be true to what God's Word says and what God's Word is, we have to understand and know that people in this culture, in our day and time, with the things that are going on in our world, the schemes of the devil, that they're not going to like hearing what you have to say. And you're going to have to look beyond how you feel and this mistaken idea that nice is a fruit of the Spirit. Nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we just need to speak the truth of God's word and understand that some people may be offended, but I love them enough to tell them the truth. And homosexuality is not only a sin, it's an abomination to God. It's an abomination that's brought in the past, recorded in the scripture. It's brought about judgment and horrible consequences, as all sin brings about horrible consequences. But we need to say, and we need to understand, and we need to make the decision that to speak the truth is more important than whether somebody likes me or not. Because they're perishing, and they're perishing over these type of things. Transhumanism is a very serious thing today. We have so many issues in our culture that are ethically challenged. There's just horrible things that are unfolding and taking place. And it's like, as Christians, as believers, we don't know what to say or to do. But transhumanism is the ultimate plan of mankind to ascend into eternal life without God. It's just this incredibly horrible idolatry. So if you're not aware of transhumanism and the type of things like cryogenics and the things that they're doing biologically and computer-wise and mechanically to preserve humanity, the human body, and to ascend into heaven, the same Babylonian idolatry, then find out. Open society sets the stage for the Antichrist. Okay, open society is promoted by George Soros. It's promoted by others. And, you know, we feel like, oh, we can't speak about these things or address these things. But open society it sets the stage for a globalism that we should be, as God's people, opposed to. Because it's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the goal of the Antichrist. So oppose it as God's people. Open borders is disdain for the divine institution of nations. You know, just say it. You know, the open borders is this idea, again, of globalism. It's again, of blurring nations. And God has given to us nations for a reason. There's a purpose for the good of humanity. And all of the divine institutions are being assaulted. And the God of this world is assaulting all of the divine institutions of God. And we need to speak plainly, clearly, boldly in regard to what the scripture has to say about it and engage our culture. We can't withdraw. We can't withdraw and please our Lord and be what God has called us to. So transgenderism is the ultimate rebellion against your creator. I mean, if God created you male or female and you feel like you want to be the opposite, that's just the ultimate expression of your disdain for how you were created by your creator. And that's the bottom line to it. And it's a hot item. I mean, boy, you say this on the street or in the coffee shop or that type of thing, and there's just this automatic reaction. Why is there this reaction? Because it's a conviction of this truth of the Holy Spirit that God's people need to be speaking in a time of great darkness. And so don't disengage yourself from these issues. National debt and inflation is an immoral theft of our children's future. That's just the bottom line. It's stealing. It's stealing their future. And if we can't speak against raising the debt limit and about such things as God's people and call it for what it is, it's fraudulent, it's awful, and all of the things that they're doing. And we need to speak as God's people in regard to these truths. And then do not neglect your civic duties. Vote in the primaries. We have a primary coming up. It's really essential for you to look at all of these candidates that are representing you and knowing what they believe and how they think and what they intend to do in Washington and whether they have the strength to stand up to some of the issues that we're facing as a country. And it's going to take candidates with great boldness, and we need to search them out, find out who they are. Primaries are where we can determine who's running where and having assuring that we have a good candidate to represent us. And it's a responsibility, it's a civic duty that we have as God's people. Use the cultural impact team's research or do your own, but find out about those judges that you don't know their names or you don't know what they think or anything, because they make decisions that affect your children, your grandchildren, that affect you. And so it's important that we take care of our civic duties. Contact your attorney general to clean up our voter rolls. There was fraud in the voter, in the elections. There's no question about it. There was an incredible amount of fraud and abuse, and on a massive scale. If we don't work to clean up our voter rolls, then our country is gone. And we need to do it by 2022, not 2024, because they're stealing elections. It doesn't matter if you vote in those cases. But we can contact our attorney general. He's a good man and has stood the ground. And we need to clean up those voter rolls. Part of the open border thing is that they're filling up these areas where they want to control the vote. You know, it's the only thing that makes sense as to what they're doing. And it happened before that they filled up these different areas with voters that change and that determines how the elections go. Demand fair elections by on-site voter identification and paper ballots, except for the disabled and those that are not able to get there. Those paper ballots that are being mailed out are a seedbed for fraud and voter fraud and stealing elections. So we got to do something about it, and it has to begin with people. It has to begin with us. It's easy enough to contact your representatives and let them know these things and let them know that we're behind them, because we have some representatives that are really good people that really are taking a stand and doing some things, but we may lose them, and we can't. Replace voting machines that can be hacked online. The voting machines they're hackable. So we don't even know what happened in this last election and what a massive scale that they were hacked, but they can be hacked. There's no question about it. And so in light of that, they should be done away with. So let's do some of these things as God's people. And let's be bold and stand and speak the truth, because it may cost you. I'm not saying it flippantly. There may be a cost for speaking out against these things. In fact, we've seen a number of costs. The cultural impact team, .com and cultural impact on the back of the table, there are attempts to help us to work through things that we need to know as God's people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son. Keep us in the name of Jesus.